We're gonna take a trip right now. Like we always do about this time.
This is a journey into sound. Break it
down. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. NPR has released their best of 2023 music lists. And on this week's show, we'll explore some of the Indiana musicians featured among the year's best, including Omar Apollo, Duran Jones, The Hot Plates, and Hannah Benn. We'll also have another edition of Rebel Music with Carla Lopez Owens. Carla's guest will be the Indianapolis-based visual artist Alejandra Carrillo.
Before I started making artwork, I was very afraid of who I was in society.
We'll begin with music from Omar Apollo, one of the most important musicians to emerge from Indiana in the last decade. Omar is a first-generation Mexican-American. His parents immigrated to Indiana from Guadalajara, Jalisco. The 26-year-old singer-songwriter was born and raised in the northwest Indiana town of Hobart. As a teenager in Hobart, Omar began uploading his home recordings and demos to the music streaming platform SoundCloud. Within a few short years, those recordings attracted national attention, leading Omar to multiple hit records and Grammy nominations. NPR selected Omar's Ice Slippin' as one of the best songs of 2023, describing the track as a gripping coming-out song with no tidy conclusion. Ice Slippin' chronicles Apollo's futile pursuit of his family's acceptance. We'll hear that track now. This is Omar Apollo with Ice Slippin'.
If I'm being honest, if I said what I said, would you hate me? Would you hate me? When you come home, home is where you're supposed to be. Turn around, it's not too late.
That was Hobart, Indiana's Omar Apollo with Ice Slippin', selected by NPR as one of the best songs of 2023. You can find that track on Omar's EP, Live For Me. In addition to his solo work, Omar was featured on the album Red Moon in Venus by the Colombian-American singer Kali Uchis, which also made an appearance on NPR's Best Music of 2023 list. We'll listen to a track from that record now. This is Kali Uchis and Omar Apollo with Worth the Wait.
Most people don't know how to love, that's why they're empty. Nothing will ever be enough, that's why they envy. Gotta be careful with my heart because I love thee. Quit telling me you wanna put your baby in me. If your affection from is truly only skin deep, I don't wanna end up just another broken family. You would never do that to me, would you, baby?
That was Kali Uchis with Worth the Wait, featuring Hobart, Indiana's Omar Apollo. On this week's show, we're exploring some of the Indiana musicians featured on NPR's Best of 2023 music lists. Up next, we'll hear music from Duran Jones, a graduate of Indiana University's Jacobs School of Music and a former member of the IU Soul Review. Duran rose to national prominence with the Bloomington-based band Duran Jones and the Indications. Earlier this year, Duran released his debut solo album, Wait Till I Get Over. NPR selected the album's title track as one of the best songs of 2023, describing the recording as a one-person jubilee choir transporting you to a wood-floored country church. This is Duran Jones with Wait Till I Get Over.
Wait till I get over. I'm gonna lay my burdens down.
I'll see my Lord over there, over there. I'll see my Lord.
That was IU grad Duran Jones with Wait Till I Get Over. On this week's show, we're exploring some of the Indiana musicians featured on NPR's Best of 2023 Music Lists. The bassist and vocalist Michelle Ndege Ocello is a legendary figure in American popular music. Her most recent release, The Omnichord Real Book, was selected by NPR as one of the best albums of 2023. The Omnichord Real Book features substantial contributions from Indiana musicians, including the Indianapolis composer and vocalist Hannah Benn, who appeared on two of the album's tracks. Earlier this year, I spoke with Hannah about working with Michelle.
I've met Michelle via my partner, D'Antoni Parks, who also performs regularly with her and has written music with her as well. You know, there's more to come with the Michelle collaboration. She it's going to come out soon, but it's just some production on my record. Mm-hmm. She's turned out to be like a great mentor for me, somebody to aspire to, and so I feel so blessed to have met her.
I also had a chance to ask Michelle Ndege Ocello about working with Hannah Benn. Let's listen to an excerpt of our conversation.
Oh, I want to feature Hannah on everything. And it's like you said, she's a genius. And I know that is a term we kind of flaunt around, and I know they have an award for it. It's rarely used when talking about a woman, but Hannah Benn is a genius arranger, composer, and vocalist. And anytime I can have her singing, I'm very happy. I find the tone of her voice like enchanting and angelic, and I can't wait. Her and D'Antoni, her partner from TechnoSelf, are working on a recording, and I can't wait for the world to hear it. I think I'm her biggest fan.
Up next, we'll hear two tracks from the Omnichord Real Book featuring Hannah Benn. This is Burn Progression, followed by Call the Tune.
Things fall apart.
That was Michelle Ndege Ocello with Call the Tune, featuring the Indianapolis vocalist and composer Hannah Benn. On this week's show, we're exploring some of the Indiana musicians featured on NPR's Best of 2023 Music Lists. Hannah Benn was not the only Indiana musician, prominently featured on Michel Ndege Ocello's album, The Omnichord Real Book. The record also featured vocals and writing from Lafayette, Indiana's Justin and Jade Hicks, a brother-sister duo who create music together under the name The Hot Plates. I'll be speaking with the duo later this year. Up next, we'll listen to a pair of tracks from the Omnichord Real Book featuring Justin and Jade. This is Hole in the Bucket, followed by The Fifth Dimension.
We overreacted. We overreacted.
Where's the gold?
That was Michel Ndege Ocello with The Fifth Dimension, featuring Lafayette, Indiana's Justin and Jade Hicks on vocals. We've been exploring some of the Indiana musicians featured on NPR's Best of 2023 music lists. Go to npr.org to see their full list of this year's best music. Cultural Manifesto will return after this short break. I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. Up next, we have another edition of Rebel Music with Carla Lopez Owens.
This is Carla Lopez, and you're listening to Rebel Music on Cultural Manifesto. Me llamo Carla Lopez, y estás escuchando a Música Rebelde, el Manifesto Cultural. Rebel Music explores the relationship between music and activism in Indiana and around the globe. My guest this week is the Chicana activist, artist, and art educator Alejandra Carrillo. She creates art under the pen name El Rayonadero, which translates to The Scribbler. Alejandra is a first-generation Mexican-American immigrant based in Indianapolis. She's a recent graduate of the Heron School of Art and Design. Alejandra's artwork illustrates the stories of marginalized people in America and depicts iconic figures in Mexican history, like the Adelitas, women who joined the Mexican Revolution in the early 1900s, and challenge gender roles of the era. Alejandra's work has been featured in many prominent spaces in Indiana, including the Ida Jorg Museum and the Indianapolis Museum of Art at Newfields. Let's join our conversation with Alejandra Carrillo. Alejandra, thank you so much for being with us today. We are going to listen to some music and talk about your work as an artist and as an activist. From what I understand, you're a first-generation Chicana. Your parents are originally from Chihuahua, Mexico, and you grew up in Kansas?
Yeah.
But you eventually moved to Indiana. Can you tell me more about your background?
Like you mentioned, I was born in Kansas, and I don't have a lot of memories from when I lived there, but you know, as a kid, you, like, imagine everything is, like, awesome. So what I do have is, like, really special. And then we moved here when I was, like, in grade school. And, yeah, I've lived in Indiana most of my life. I consider myself a Hoosier. So, yeah, it's been up and down. But, you know, that's kind of how it goes with, like, immigrant families. Like, we kind of move around, try to figure out where we can call home and go from there. But overall, it's been great. Yeah.
And you incorporate Mexican and indigenous culture and history into your art. In your own words, your most recent work centers the plight of indigenous women, striking back at a system designed to hold them at the bottom of society or even out of sight. Why did you decide to focus on these themes?
I feel like when it comes to activism and defending people that are oppressed, I feel like it comes down to the people that are oppressed the most. And I feel like women of color are really indicative of that because they're the most underrepresented. And when it comes to trying to change that and bring justice to the systems that are built for us to fail, it's up to us kind of to change that. And I took a lot of inspiration from like Soldadera women and Adelita women, and that imagery kind of empowers me to feel like a little bit stronger in my activism and a little bit more confident in who I make work for and what I make work about and what I want to say through that. So it's a need to kind of see these people that usually don't have power hold all of the power and be the main subjects.
Your artwork is political, but you weren't always outspoken about social issues. What role would you say that art played in developing your perspective on political and social issues?
I feel like before I started making artwork like this, I was very afraid of who I was and like the position like I held in society. I was a kid, but I realized that even though, like me, Alejandra was scared of like kind of bringing up this stuff that really like bothered me, I feel like there was a need for it. And I feel like my art was like a great vehicle for me to kind of find that strength and say like, man, I don't care like what people have to say. If you don't like it, you don't have to support it. But yeah, I feel like I always say like El Rayonadero, my tag is like my alter ego, kind of like my other persona that I take on when I make work, because I feel like she's really brave and she doesn't really care what kind of backlash or censorship she faces. But like Alejandra is still very much like getting there, you know, like I like to channel that kind of energy to make artwork, but I'm still working like every day to try to get a little bit more kind of unapologetic and confrontational when it comes to like the things that really bother me and I feel like should change.
Tell me more about El Rayonadero and your name.
Yeah, so I first came up with it because I was like, well, I think it's kind of cool when the Mexican women that worked, that served in during the Mexican Revolution, some of them took on like male roles and even went to be like generals and really respected soldiers in the war. And they had to kind of put on a mask and act like men during the revolution to be able to hold that respect from them. I really like how like it's not like me, but it's like I become something else when I'm doing this. So I kind of like that about it. I also just like when I was little, my dad would like see me drawing and he would be like, oh, ya vas a empezar con tu rayonadero, you know, like your chicken scratches, your scribbles. And that kind of was the start of like this word that I'm like, man, this is what I do. So I'm just going to take ownership of that. So that's where it kind of stems from.
And you were recently commissioned to paint a mural outside of the Mexican consulate alongside artist Joy Hernandez. The design incorporates both Indianapolis culture and Mexican culture. Can you tell me more about that project?
Yeah, so the consulate really wanted to use unifying elements between Mexico and Indiana. And if you really think about it, there's like a lot of stuff that ties us together, like the corn and all these traditions that we have. But I'm really glad that I was given that opportunity. And especially here where I feel like Latina visibility is very low. And I mean, it's better towards like in the city, but definitely where I grew up, it wasn't super prominent. And I feel very proud to be able to say that I have my artwork out in public, especially in like a building that is so pivotal to like the immigrant population here. So, yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's vibrant. You guys did an amazing job.
Thank you.
And on that note, you brought some music to share with us today. The first song that you brought is Tristes Recuerdos by Ramon Ayala y sus Bravos del Norte. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us why this song is meaningful to you?
Yeah, so this was my grandma's favorite song, and I feel like that's why it became my dad's favorite song. Mm-hmm. It's like a part of a lot of our culture as like immigrant families is holding on to memories. And since my parents couldn't grow up to be adults with their parents, it's kind of like amor eterno. It's like our amor eterno. It's reminiscent of like that person that you need to have with you. I find that when my grandma passed and my dad couldn't go to Mexico to see her, I found him like listening to this song a lot, and I feel like it's important in my family because it reminds you of like the people you need to have near you. And even though you're not near them, you always try to communicate with them somehow and keep that relationship strong. And that's something that I really envy, is like I feel like I never had a good relationship with my grandparents because of that distance. But having like music and songs like these is like a way that I feel close to them in a way. And I remember the little bits that I do have of them, and it's really special.
El tiempo pasa.
And the next song we're going to listen to is The Taker's Story by Chicano Batman. They're a really unique band, you know, based out of Los Angeles, that mixes Latin American sounds with psychedelic music and soul. I understand this song, this music, had a big influence in you. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, I mean, that whole album is, I feel like it's important to my transition between like making art just because I wanted to and making art for like a purpose. And when I found Chicano Batman is when I kind of started like finding more purpose in the stuff that I wanted to say and the artwork I wanted to make. And that song specifically, I just feel like was the beginning of everything. I'm not a person that listens to lyrics, but when I do, I have like this aha moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, why didn't I listen? Like, I'm always kind of just like a music kind of girl, and I listen to the instruments and like the bass line, and then I listened to this, the lyrics of this song, and I was taken aback because I was like, well, this is what I always wanted to make artwork about. And like they do it so seamlessly where they embed these messages with this like really nice song that has a great bass line, and I'm like, well, why can't I do that? And it's called The Taker's Story because it's the story of colonization and how everything has been taken away from indigenous people, and it's just a cycle, and it's so animalistic in its nature, but it's also so like detrimental to like the earth itself, like all of this consumption, and all it just goes into a lot of different things. It's a really long song, but I really enjoy it just because it started a lot of creative thinking for me, and I just really like that band a lot.
Take, 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 take. being a living creature that kills its competitors for food. And when they're gone, he kills the competitors of its food's food, too. I'm talking about the birds, the aphids, the insects, and the trees.
And the next song that you brought to share is Matilda by the British singer Harry Styles. Can you tell me more about this song and why you picked it?
Yeah, well, I'm a OG Directioner, so I just really enjoy Harry Styles. But when he came out with this song, I was like, this is the song for first generation, like first daughters of immigrant families. Like, this is our song. And like, it makes me like cry, but it also makes me like so proud to like be who I am, as hard as it is to be like the eldest daughter and like hold all of these like generational cycles and traumas. It's like there's so much strength in that, and like you can take all of this that you were given and turn it into something and really just like start a new cycle. And I think that's beautiful. And I feel like that song, like Harry's like talking to us directly, and he's like, hey, you have all of this that happened to you, but that doesn't matter. Like, and it makes it sound like we're unappreciative of like our families, but I like to think of it I feel like we're naturally supposed to give so much as the eldest women. And there comes a point where we have to come to our senses and be like, well, who am I? And how can I start my own life without feeling guilty of like not being there for my family? And that's a very hard thing to come to. But I feel like in that song, like he's telling you, like, it's okay. And like, you have to become your own person at some point, and they're gonna be fine.
You were riding your bike to the sound of "It's No Big Deal." And you're trying to lift off the ground on those old two wheels. Nothing about the way that you were treated ever seemed especially alarming till now. So you tie up your hair and you smile like it's no big deal. You can let it go. You can throw a party full of everyone you know.
And the final song we're going to hear is called Ovarios by the late Mexican-American vocalist Jenny Rivera. You told me that Jenny Rivera's music has influenced your art. Can you tell me more about that, please?
Yeah. Jenny Rivera I just identify so much with her because she is a Chicana artist, but like she makes so much music and really artwork for Mexican people and like the stuff we go through and stuff. And I feel like I need to channel her a lot when I make artwork that is a little bit stronger. And every time that I'm depicting like an Adelita woman, I always find myself like playing her music because I'm like, oh, I'm gonna draw this badass girl with like guns and like stuff, and I just feel like I need to put her music on, and it just puts me in that energy, and it puts me in the right mindset to make that kind of artwork. And I feel like it's just, she's like the OG like feminist. Like, you don't really think about it, but a lot of like machista men don't like her because of all the stuff she says in her songs. But I mean, men have been making music like that for centuries and nobody's batted an eye. And I feel like there's just been so much that Jenny had reached, and she's torn down so many walls. And I feel like if I could channel her or be like her one day, it would be so cool. Yeah. So, yeah.
Dicen que viene la jefa, miren cómo estoy temblando. No sé de quién serán jefas si nadie les hace caso, y las que dicen ser reinas son de un pueblo abandonado. Si fue el Señor de los cielos el que me puso en el puesto, no me quitarán. Yo sí se lo apuesto, la señora está rifando.
Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share or talk about anything else that I haven't asked you about?
Yeah. Try to support, like, local artists, you know, especially minority artists. There's not a lot of us, but the people that are there are super true and genuine, and I feel like it's so needed to just have a community so that we can keep making art, and especially for, like, Latinos, like, I feel like if you can support us, like, all year round, not, like, only during Hispanic Heritage Month, that would be so amazing. You know, we exist 12 months out of the year, not just one. And, yeah, so just try to support us so that we can do something. I don't know. It would be super nice. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and if our listeners wanted to learn more about your work, they can find you on Instagram at El Rayonadero. That's your handle. Where else can they find your work?
That's pretty much it. I'm in the process of making myself a website. But yeah, it's El Rayonadero with two L's, not a Y, because I'm a no sabo kid. So. But yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. I've been a really great fan of your work ever since I met you last year during Cosechas Un Verano Sin Licencias fundraiser. And I look forward to supporting your work and seeing what else you do in Indianapolis. And
thank you so much.
Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.
My guest this week has been the Chicana activist, artist, and art educator, Alejandra Carrillo. You can find Alejandra's art on Instagram at El Rayonadero, ElRayonadero. Stay tuned to Cultural Manifesto for future editions of Rebel Music. Rebel Music is produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Carla Lopez Owens. Thank you for listening.
That's all the time we have for this week. Listen, download, and subscribe to the Cultural Manifesto podcast on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Cultural Manifesto is hosted and produced by me, Kyle Long. Thank you for listening.